A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hi there, Adam from Carnivore Today. I'm truly excited to have you all here as we dive into this conversation with Gloria. Expect a fresh perspective and some captivating discussion from her life experiences. Hi there, Gloria. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you being here.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So for the viewers that's watching, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name's Gloria Peck, and I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. I haven't lived there in probably about 15 years. Traveled around for my job, and then ultimately I ended up in Montana. I was a tech nurse, and then I started working as a medical lab technician for SSM Health. And now I do a little bit of independent consulting for a few labs from home remotely.
Okay.
So that's nice. What I do.
Very cool.
So I can read labs.
Awesome. So you married, have kids?
No, I'm sorry. I am divorced.
Okay.
And I had two children. I have one son. He lives in Texas. And my daughter, unfortunately, passed away from breast cancer. And I had a longtime partner. His name was Tom, and he passed away from prostate cancer. So ultimately, I was alone. And I decided, you know, it was basically the first time that I could just make a decision without including anybody else. So I just decided I'm going to move to Montana. So that's what I did.
It's a beautiful area for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I love living here. I really do. I wasn't sure, you know, but ultimately I ended up deciding I was going to stay here for good.
Right. So you went from bean town to cattle town.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really fit in Massachusetts. I didn't when I lived there. I have a totally different way of thinking, I think, comparison to a lot of people.
Right.
I'll leave it at that.
Right. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Cool. So so I understand you're on a low carb diet. Are you actually doing the carnivore diet?
I am carnivore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I did do for many years. I, you know, ate sort of, if you will, a keto diet. I just didn't know I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I, you know, I fell off that wagon when I went through the grief of losing my daughter and then my partner, and you just really go through this period that. You know, you just, how do I want to say it? It's not that I didn't care, but I think I just felt so down in the dumps that then you start eating things that you shouldn't be to make yourself feel better in the moment, you know? And so I kind of caught up with that. And then I was going through the change of life. So between the grief and the change of life, I had started to put weight on, and I had always been a medium-sized person.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're looking in the mirror with this extra weight, and you're thinking, that doesn't look like me. You know, what happened? So I knew that I had to get back on track. So I don't, in all honesty, I don't know where I heard about the ketogenic diet. I just, by accident, I was on YouTube and I was just looking at different videos. And like a lot of people, I came across Dante Ferrigno. Is that his last name?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, and I even like called my aunt. I'm like, you gotta look at this guy. So I was like telling people, you gotta go look at this guy. And I'm like, I'm gonna watch him. So I started to watch his journey. And so in the beginning, because I wanted to transition and not, you know, end up really feeling lousy, I started off with, I printed out Ken Berry's list of, I had found Ken Berry too, shortly after I bumped into Dante. And I printed out his list of foods. And then the ones that I wanted to eat were the ones that I ate. Because I still was a little leery of vegetables. Okay. I didn't eat a lot of vegetables because, or fruit, because I have a sensitivity to oxalate, which is how I got even interested in nutrition.
Interesting.
So I, yeah, when I was around 39 years old, I had suffered for a good, most of my adult life with bladder pain, which the catch-all phrase for it is interstitial cystitis, which means inflammation within the bladder wall. And I had gone to every type of doctor you could dream of. And no one ever did anything that made a difference. If not anything, it made it worse. And then, you know, I started developing bleeding ulcers in my bladder. So that was when I said, okay, no one seems to be helping. Nothing seems to be helping. So I'm going to research this and I'm going to help myself. And so that's what I did. And then I started helping other women who had the same problem. Unfortunately, a lot of them are doing the vegan diet and it makes it worse, not better. So I find that for me, I had to focus on nutrient things like nutrient dense. What was more important, you know, the nutrients or the groups of food I was eating. And so when you start looking and you realize that animal food is bioavailable and you're not now going to deal with anti-nutrients that are going to bind to, you know, calcium, magnesium, zinc. Because I do understand that I actually, when I went to school, I was taught about the interrelationship of nutrients. Minerals, nutrients, vitamins, amino acids, enzymes. So I understand how they all work together. So I didn't let anybody trick me into not ever eating, you know, meat, you know. So
that's awesome.
I've always kind of pushed the protein.
Cool.
So fat, I didn't push. So that was the change.
How long ago did you start the carnivore diet?
I started carnivore in July of, it was a year this July of 2023. So 22, July, the mid-July of 22. I didn't even write the date down. I'm terrible like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Here.
I'm not one of those people that like have to, you know, write the exact date down and all that. I don't know. I'm just not good with, like, I smoked years ago and I know so many people that remember like the day they quit smoking. I don't remember what day it was. I remember roughly what year it was. So anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been, what is it? It's July, September, October. So you're roughly 15 months into it.
Yeah. Into eating carnivore. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so you first heard about it from Dante and then. And then Dr. Berry, which is interesting because I heard about it from Joe Rogan and then started doing research and I found Dante and then I found Dr. Berry. So, and Carrie from Homestead Howe, he found it through Dante and then Dr. Berry. So that seems like the funnel that everybody follows almost with the YouTube.
Yeah, I just stumbled upon him and I thought, because I've always been somebody who believed in eating animal food, And I thought, you know what? And I knew about, you know, like a lot of us, I mean, depending on how old you are, you knew about Atkins, right?
Right.
Dr. Yep. Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew about him. And so I just thought, I'm going to watch a little bit of his journey. So as I started to watch him transform, because, you know, you do sort of second guess whether you should just be eating all meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with, there's just so many different ideas about dietary needs out there. So, and then, you know, a couple of years later, you'll find out, oh, you shouldn't have been doing this, or you shouldn't have ate, you know. So I just thought, I like to see the proof. I want to mm-hmm. see the person. You know, I working at a lab, you know, you think to yourself, people can tell you things, but if I know somebody, say somebody's taking a certain medication, or I know they're eating certain, you know, diet, we can see the changes that happen in people's tissue. And I mean, right. you know, it's amazing what you can see. So I wanted to see the transformation with him physically anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I followed that diet too. But like many others, the allowance of a certain number of herbs led me right back into the standard American diet, unfortunately.
A certain amount of what?
Carbs.
Oh, carbs, yeah.
Yeah, you allow that diet, if I remember right, you were allowed to have a certain number of carbs on that diet, kind of like ketogenic.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that was my downfall.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing that I recognized. I think a lot of us recognize that about ourselves is that once you, like I didn't eat bread and I didn't eat pasta and rice and all that for years. And it was like, once I started doing that again, like I started making soups and adding that stuff to it, I started to do it more and more. And you know, you just end up taking off with eating that stuff, and I didn't want to do that. So I've always known, I mean, I don't think it's rocket science. I think people know you eat bread, you eat pasta, you eat rice, potatoes. You know, we all know that stuff is starchy, sugary. And if you're looking in the mirror and you're overweight, and you know that, you know it's carbs. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I've known that since I was a kid.
Right. Yeah, you know, no matter what form you're getting it in, whether it's starch or grains or sugar or whatever, it's carbs.
Yeah, and one of the things that I should have said this in the beginning, I had gone to have my yearly physical in May before the July that I started the carnivore. So in May was when I started to go back to eating better because I was pre-diabetic. And there's diabetes on both sides of my family. And I watch, like, I have an uncle who is, he went into a nursing home when he was around 54, 55 with dementia because he had diabetes. And he had already had 3 heart attacks. So, and then, you know, both sides of my family, there's diabetes. And I have an aunt who has dementia, and she started getting dementia in her early 70s. So I just did not want to go down that road. And my grandfather had Alzheimer's. So you start realizing once you hear that pre-diabetic, this is the road I'm going to go down. And
right,
I didn't want to.
For sure.
I didn't want to. I think diabetes is horrible, horrible. Type 2 diabetes is a horrible thing to be diagnosed with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, eventually you can lead to having an amputation. And the thought of that, no, I would not want to have that experience.
No, not at all. And some people that they get to that point and they still don't change their diet is like, it just seems like insanity to me. Like
yeah,
dude,
and I also
you need to change something.
Yeah. I also took into consideration, too, that, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to be a burden on somebody else. I don't want to be a burden on my kids, my family. So, you know, I just think it's really important to, it's your responsibility to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. So, that's a great point for sure.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned Atkins. Have you tried any other diets in the past? And what was your experience with those?
In all honesty, I have never been on a diet. I liked my food too much. The only thing I did was I sort of followed Weston A. Price.
Okay.
I'd read articles on that website, and I read some of the books that they recommended, like GAPS. What else? I can't remember her. Her first name was Adele. She wrote a book about fats. That was when I learned more about, you know, how healthy fats were. A few times, you know, I got into making sourdough bread, but that was way too much work. I didn't really like it. So I'm glad I didn't like it too much, because I stopped doing that really quick. So, but that's pretty much, if I followed anybody, it was the Weston A. Price group.
Okay. And what was their main mantra with that?
Oh, it is fats, protein. It's similar, you know, to ketogenic, except they're still adding the grains in.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, they have recipes on how to make homemade sourdough bread. You know, they're big on, I think it's person to person when it comes to dairy, but they really push dairy, raw milk, things mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah.
Interesting.
And everybody has their opinions, as you know, about dairy.
Yeah, for sure. I love it, but I hate it. So I definitely have to keep it out of my diet as much as possible. And I even try to limit the amount of butter that I have.
Yeah, I don't eat a lot of butter either. I mean, I saw some people increasing their butter intake, like up to a stick or two. And, you know, that's concentrated fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to burn the fat on your body if that's your goal anyway.
Right.
So
right.
I never did that. Yeah, I had fat to burn. So there was no way I was eating a stick of butter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
I'm not someone who like jumps in and does that stuff.
Right.
So I'm not really a challenge person. I see people doing challenges and it's not really me. So to me, it was just important that I ate meat.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I'm not a challenge person either. And I didn't even know that the beef, butter, bacon, and eggs was a challenge. I just thought that was like, hey, if you want to do this carnivore thing, it's beef, butter, bacon, and eggs. I didn't even understand it. So I just started eating that. Right.
Well, when I saw that, I thought, well, I'm already pretty much eating that. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I try not to go too crazy with bacon either. Because you can really end up eating way too much if it's easy to eat a lot of it. So anything that's salty, has saltiness to it, you can overeat it, I believe, or fatty even. Mm-hmm. So I try to take it easy with that too.
Awesome. So speaking of challenges, have you experienced any challenges with the carnivore diet?
No, you know what? I have been very fortunate. I never had to run to the bathroom.
That's good.
Never got the keto flu, but nothing. I never had any challenges. The only thing that I will say took out of any symptoms that I did have, the one that probably took the longest to go away was acid reflux.
Okay.
But it went away, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I haven't had acid reflux in a long time. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, but no, I wasn't sick at all. Didn't get a headache, nothing.
That's awesome.
No, I was fortunate. Yeah.
Very cool.
So
and
I still have my gallbladder, so maybe that's why I think. Yeah. I also think that, so I can say this, working in a lab, so I'm looking at people's electrolytes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably about 20% of the people who adopt a carnivore or, you know, even a keto-vore diet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be using electrolytes as much as somebody else. So a lot of times when you look at that 20%, their sodium is relatively high to their potassium already. And those are the people that will get diarrhea and not feel good and wonder, what is going on with me? A lot of times, too, you'll see that those are the people that have stomach problems. And they, so when I have looked at some carnivores, I just looked at one recently, and she has been on a lion diet and hardly absorbing anything. Like, all her storage minerals and vitamins were extremely low.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. So not everybody's absorbing all of it, which is a shame. You know, I told her, I said, don't hate me. And I told her. But that's because, you know, some people are still on medication or were on medications for a long time, or people have had COVID and they have taken antibiotics and things like that. And so their stomachs aren't right anymore, or they haven't been right in a long time. So it's really a good idea to take some HCL to help you break down that protein, so you're getting the nutrients from it. HCL, and if you're somebody who's thin and you're not doing this to lose weight, you probably need some enzymes with it. So enzymes will, HCL will speed up your metabolism. Enzymes will slow it down. If you know you have a hypothyroid and you're heavy, you don't want to take enzymes. It'll slow everything down even more and slow the healing process.
Interesting.
So we should be teaching people that. I wish that some of the doctors would maybe have do a video on hydrochloric acid and enzymes, whether to use one, the other, or both.
Interesting.
Because I think it would help a lot of people. Because sometimes people get so sick doing this, they quit, you know, they don't want to do it anymore.
So do you think that is like a normal person that wouldn't have any issues? They obviously wouldn't need that, right?
No. If you're, if you're not, I mean, some people are asymptomatic. They don't even know. They don't feel that they feel fine. So you don't always know, but But I do see, I do see that sometimes with patients. So,
I've always wondered that about the electrolytes too, because, you know, they say, you know, have the keto chow electrolytes or element or whatever. And I was doing that for a while, but I was still getting leg cramps and things. And I'm like, man, there's no way that I would have leg cramps. Like, I would have to.
Well,
eat, like,
the amount of magnesium. Of yeah. So think of it this way. Something that I can share that might even help people is, so when we look at, you have five electrolytes, not three. And what we have to understand is that minerals can, they're dual in nature. They can be both antagonistic and synergistic. So if you're getting all that sodium and you already have low stores of magnesium, you're going to push, you're going to eliminate magnesium. You're going to antagonize it. And then with magnesium, depending on whether you're a female or a male, that also depends on how much you need to take in your age. But on average, a person shouldn't really be taking more than, there's only, what, 60? Is it, well, how many, or 200, I don't know. How many milligrams are an element of magnesium? Do you remember?
Yeah.
I know it's 1,000 of sodium.
I think it's 60.
Yeah, I think it's 60. That's nothing.
Right.
You know, you can take up to 800. Of course, you know, magnesium works like a laxative, so you have to be careful with that too.
For sure.
So if you're running through the bathroom, then, you know, you shouldn't be taking that either, because you're losing minerals. Yeah. Yeah. So we have to remember that minerals are dual in nature. They can be antagonistic and synergistic. So we can use them therapeutically to act as a synergist on certain minerals. But the other thing is, let's see if I can remember it right. So calcium is your first electrolyte, and that is what we need the most of. The second one is sodium. The third one is phosphorus. The fifth one's potassium. And the last one is magnesium. So, and I see people taking lots of magnesium, and they don't realize that they're antagonizing their storages of calcium as well. So we're going to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if your magnesium stores become relative to other electrolytes, you can feel horrible. You can be fatigued. So I'm not big on, to me, fix your stomach, eat meat. You don't really need to take supplements.
Right.
You know, maybe a little iodine, you know, that's about it.
I found out that through experimentation also, you know, I was doing keto chow and still getting cramps. And then I started making my own electrolytes. I found out that one of the potassiums would cause all kinds of issues for me. So I switched the type of potassium.
Mm-hmm.
And I still was getting cramps at night. And then ultimately what I found out what it was, it wasn't the electrolytes at all. It was just, I wasn't drinking enough water.
Right.
So once I started, it almost doubled my water.
Who says that all the time? Yeah. And who's always saying that? Anthony Chafee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't take electrolytes anymore. I just salt to taste and drink way more water than I think that I need. And the cramps are gone for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I just keep some in the house, just, you know, to have them on hand. Like, I even gave my mother some keto chow liquid electrolytes because she's passed out before. So I just keep it in the house for, you know, emergency reasons. But yeah, if you're not, and the other thing too is, so I think, you know, I'm not going to probably tell you anything you don't already know. So when people go on a carnivore diet, because now you have given up other things, or even a ketogenic diet, people are drinking far more caffeine, coffee, and coffee is a diuretic. So
yes.
Now you're not eating carbs. So what happens when you don't eat carbs? You lose fluid. That fluid has what? Circulating electrolytes in it. So you're losing that. And now you're drinking a diuretic all day long.
Yes.
And then you're just like, why do I have cramps?
Yes.
So then we're throwing electrolytes on it. And that doesn't always work.
Yes.
So
that's the problem that I was having for sure. And I followed Dr. Chafee's, not really protocol, but his suggestion of eliminating caffeine and how to do it, because it was hard for me to do that.
Right.
So basically all I did was I just took caffeine pills, replaced the diet Pepsi that I was drinking and the coffees.
Yeah.
And replaced it with one caffeine pill. So I wasn't ingesting the rest of the stuff and break the habit, you know, the fizzy stuff and having the warm coffee. Mm-hmm. And that helped tremendously, and just gradually took less and less of those caffeine pills over a 2-week period. And then it's completely gone now. So And once I stopped that, the cramps definitely went away. They haven't come back. So.
Right, exactly.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. So you're just, you know, you're causing your, even if it's just mild dehydration, you're causing yourself to, you know, become more dehydrated. Might start off as mild, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
Yeah. Every time, you know, I hear him say, you know, well, you don't really need electrolytes. You just drink, you know, enough water. I'm like, but we, you know, as human beings, we like to complicate things, right? We want to complicate it. We keep waiting for a different answer that we want to hear because, you know, the one we're hearing, give up coffee, isn't the one that we want to hear, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it. I mean, I don't have any qualms with anyone drinking coffee. You do give up a lot of things. And I think that's sort of the mindset for a long time. Like, oh, I gave everything else up. I got to hold on to one of my vices. Oh, I did it for a long time with lots of things. So,
So in light of what we just talked about, you know, basically, I follow that principle that Dr. Chafee says, you know, just meat, salt, and water. You don't really need the electrolytes and things like that. So I think that I definitely think that's true for somebody that's metabolically healthy, but based on what you were saying in the lab, it seems like some people may need to supplement because of cellular damage or, you know, poor metabolic health or something like that. Is that the case?
It could be for so many different reasons, even stress. Somebody has a lot of stress in their life. Stress can actually make you eliminate electrolytes, nutrients through your urine and feces. So there can be a number of reasons. A lot of times, because I'm semi-retired now. She doesn't know it, but I send people to Judy Cho, because Judy Cho provides a lot of testing, including hair analysis, which gives you a window into what's going on with your electrolytes, your gut. I know some doctors, including Dr. Berry, thinks it's poo-poo, but it isn't. I mean, hair is tissue, and it is a blueprint of what is going on with your biochemistry. I can't tell you how many people that, even myself, I've done it both ways. I've had somebody tell me everything that's going on with them and then done a hair analysis on them, and it shows up. And they're just amazed. They're like, wow, I can't believe that picked all that up. And then I've said to people, don't tell me. And then I've told them what I see in their hair sample, and they're like, dead on. I even had a man one time that had some different nutrients. It was a pattern of nutrients that were deficient. And I asked him, he was an older man, and I said, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And he said, no, go ahead. And I said, was your mother kind of a cold person? I said, you know, just kind of quiet and cold and not really very maternal. He said, oh my gosh, I can't believe. He said, you saw that? I said, yeah, I saw what your mother actually didn't probably pass on to you. And he says, yeah, he says, you know, the very first memory I have of my mother, I was a kid, and I remember my dad putting me in the back seat of the car when they drove to a mental health hospital to go pick her up to come home. She had been gone for a long time, he said, and he was only about 5 or 6 years old. But you'd be amazed what you can figure out.
Wow.
Tissue really does tell us a story. So I will send, you know, when people come to me, because I don't really do it anymore, I will send them to Judy Cho. If you really want to know how out of balance your electrolytes are, which ones you need, which ones you don't need, which vitamins you should maybe take temporarily, she's your girl. And she doesn't know me. I'm not like advocating for her, because I don't even know her. I've never talked to her. I've never met her in my life. Mm-hmm. But that's who I would go to.
Definitely. So that's awesome.
But eventually it will straighten itself out, even if you don't do any of that, if you just drink enough water and you eat meat. So eventually all those stores will be filled. You'll balance it out. It might take you a little longer, but
that's incredible, isn't it?
It
seems so simple, you know, and you can't sell that. That's the other
thing. No, and I think a lot of times when you change your lifestyle, you want it yesterday. You want to feel better yesterday. So, you know, we've all done it. We'll buy this supplement. We'll buy this drink, collagen. I mean, even collagen. I've heard it mentioned a little bit. If your copper stores are low, well, you're spending your money on collagen pretty much for nothing. Your body's not going to do much with it. You need that trace mineral also, you know, and a few others. But So anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So in terms of benefits on the carnivore diet, what have you seen in the past 15 months?
I had high blood pressure. So basically I had things that a lot of people get. I had high blood pressure. My triglycerides were high. my HDL was on the low side. My good cholesterol was on the lower side. I had acid reflux. I was overweight for my height. And I was having arthritis pain. I was diagnosed with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and psoriatic arthritis. And I had a little bit of psoriasis going on. So, every single thing. So I no longer take high blood pressure medication. I was on amlodipine. So that's gone. I never took the statins. I would never take a statin. But my triglycerides were 177 and they're now 76. My HDL cholesterol was 54 and it's now 78.
Nice.
And my LDL, so when I had my blood work done, everything looked great. Except the LDL. The LDL was, I can't remember the exact number. I know it was a little elevated. So, of course, right away, the doctor was talking statin. And
of course.
I don't tell them what I do. I just don't even want to have the conversation, which might not, some people might not agree with that, but I'm just not up to the task right now.
Right.
I just told them, well, let me see if I can get that down with my diet. And when I come back for my next physical, we can talk about it then. I just left it at that.
There you go.
So the biggest thing for me, though, was come November, I started this in carnivore, July of 22. Mm-hmm. And come November, I don't really know how to explain this, but my daughter was 25 years old when she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And she was pregnant. So I took care of her. I ended up with some post-traumatic stress because I literally watched her starve to death. I watched her lose her baby and starve to death. And there's just so many different things you go through when it's your kid, mm-hmm. and you're the caregiver, and then you're dealing with other people and personalities, and, you know, people want to, take her to this hospital, do this with her, she wasn't eligible for anything except palliative care, nothing. She never had a mastectomy, nothing. It was too far gone. So it takes a long, long time to process all that and, you know, go through all those stages of grief. And I never really seemed to get to the point that I accepted it. And then my significant other was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. And so I lost two people. So I now, you know, you haven't finished processing the first one, and now you've got another one to process. So, but the craziest thing, it really was, I started the carnivore diet in July. Come November, it was like I felt myself turn the corner. It was like I could live again, really. I was no longer paralyzed by it. And I really can't, it's hard to explain unless you've gone through it. But I felt that change in myself, and I felt like, I mean, and that was a lot of the reason, too, why I had, you know, put weight on, really, for the first time in my life. I kind of isolated because I don't like being heavy, and I didn't want people to see me like that, and my hair was down to my waist. I never even went out of the house hardly at all. I really isolated a lot during that period. And, but I finally turned that corner, and, all I can say is that if you have grief, depression, I've seen lots of people with depression say that, you know, they don't have a depression anymore. Hmm. And that really is what grief is. I mean, you know, you're just depressed because I guess, for me, the acceptance too is also my life has changed. And I didn't want it to change. I didn't want it to be different, you know. So I had to figure out how to live now with the people that were, you know, gone that were really the closest to me. So.
Well, if anybody had an excuse to eat improperly, I think you definitely, definitely had an excuse for sure. So.
Yeah. And truthfully, I didn't eat a lot of junk. I just was eating too much. And I also was still eating some vegetables and things like that. But I was just eating too often and too much.
Mm-hmm.
So even in that, right, you know, I'd go to the doctors and say, well, I put another, you know, 5 pounds on. I don't eat bad. I don't eat junk. But yeah. So that'll, wow. That'll just what goes to show you that any kind of carbs, even the ones that you think are healthy, you can still gain weight.
Right.
So, yeah. Wow, that's, yeah. You're eating oatmeal for breakfast with blueberries on it. You think that's good for you, you know, because I've been taught. And I'm like, what the heck?
I don't know how anybody could think that oatmeal is healthy. It literally looks disgusting. So
I know. I never ate it as a kid growing up. It wasn't until I was older. I kind of forced myself, you know, to eat it because, you know, and of course I bought the one that you had to cook it yourself. I didn't buy the little packets. So you think you're doing your, you know, better, but I found out differently.
Yeah. You get the, what is it? Steel cut oats.
Yeah.
You know, that's supposed to
be. Oh, I think I tried every type that was, I tried every type that was supposed to be good for you.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't miss feeling hungry every couple of hours. I can tell you that.
For sure.
That's like one of the best things about going carnivore is you eat and it stays with you. I'm not looking to eat something, you know, an hour or two later.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I'm right there with you. So speaking of food, what does a day look like for you as far as meals go?
I usually eat twice a day. And I don't have any issues with, if somebody ate more than that, but that's all I'm hungry. Every now and then, I don't do it all the time, but I do some protein sparing modified fast. And the reason why I did that, it's not because I have anything against water fasting, but for me, my age, I'm almost 60, and I had already lost some muscle and bone. And so I didn't want to get into doing a lot of fasting.
You definitely don't look 60.
Yeah.
You got that carnivore glow.
Yeah. No pun, right? My name's right. Gloria. That's what they call me, glow. yeah, so I do the, I watch some of Dr. Carl Goldcamp about protein modifying fast. And so I kind of took him and his wife's advice on that. But I don't, they do it every week, a couple of days out of the week. I just do it every few weeks. I'll eat, you know, higher protein and pretty lower fat. It does the same thing for you.
Right.
So I think it's just a preference of what you like. Some people, you know, like not eating for a couple of days that, you know, they like the way they feel. I don't think there's anything wrong. I think the younger you are, you can get away with doing more of that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But that's why I do it, because I didn't want to lose more muscle. And so, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So is it mainly just like beef and eggs or?
Beef is my number one. Definitely. I think we all find that out eventually. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I eat eggs. Let's see what else do I hear. You know, beef, seafood. I eat a lot of surf and turf meals. So I'll just add a little bit of shrimp or scallops or something to my steak. I try to eat some seafood, all kinds. I grew up on the East Coast and I grew up right on the water. So I enjoy seafood. I know some people don't care for it. But I, being a woman, I think women need to eat, add some seafood. And Dr. Shafe, you might disagree with me, but it's higher in copper, and copper correlates with estrogen. And so I think it's a good idea to eat some of that. Beef is one of the only foods that we have that's rich in zinc. So you want a nice balance between zinc and copper because those correlate with your hormones, especially for men. I go crazy when I see men that aren't eating any beef. Like, that's the only place you're getting zinc, and zinc correlates with your testosterone, you know. So if you ate beef, you wouldn't have to be injecting testosterone shots, which aren't good for your heart.
Right.
So
it's not good to inject anything.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, I mean, we see young boys with extremely low testosterone levels, you know, because they're not eating any beef. And that's the only place today you're going to get a good amount of zinc.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anyway,
it's definitely concerning, especially with the youth. We just did a photo shoot at a K-12 private school. And so to put this in perspective, To send your child to school K-12 will cost a parent $500,000. So very expensive private school. And the lunches that they have are insane. It is literally like a five-star hotel buffet, like eat all you want. They have a pasta bar and a vegan bar and a sandwich bar and ice cream and soft serve and all this. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. But the one thing that's missing.
Yeah, I knew that you were gonna say that.
Red meat.
Yeah.
There's no fat.
You're paying all this money for this lunch that isn't even nourishing your body.
Exactly.
Because most of what they're eating are anti-nutrients.
Yes.
So I've always known about anti-nutrients for years now. Yeah, and one of the things that always just really upset me was when they started putting soy in baby formula. Some baby formulas are soy based and some have soy added to it. And we're wondering why, you know. So when my daughter was a baby, I was only 21 years old when I had her. I didn't know a thing about nutrition. As a matter of fact, so she was colicky. And the doctor told me to put her on Prosobi, which is a soy-based formula. Mm-hmm. And soy is like a magnet, and it clings to zinc and calcium, magnesium. And it can cause your bones to be demineralized. And so at 24, when they did the 3D MRI on my daughter when she had cancer, she looked like she was already dead. Her bones look worse than a dead somebody who had died.
Wow.
They had so many holes in them. And they had told me that if she had survived, she would have never. My daughter's spinal column collapsed. I found her on the floor like that. So the doctor had said to me, even if she was to survive the cancer, she wouldn't even be able to lift her head up ever again.
Oh my goodness.
And so soy, I do not like soy. I'm not somebody who agrees with taking birth control pills, HRT, any of it. Mm-hmm. I've seen too many people even on, they shouldn't call bioidentical hormones bioidentical. They're similar. They are not bioidentical. They're similar. But we're still seeing women show up with reproductive cancer. So that would be an argument that I might have with some of these doctors, even carnivore doctors. I'm sorry, but I've seen it. I've seen women show up who have taken so-called bioidentical hormones and still end up with a reproductive cancer. So my daughter did have a BRCA gene, but you got to turn that on. So I think between the soy, standard American diet, and then she went on birth control pills as a teenager to regulate her menstrual cycles. So when I met with one female oncologist who was honest with me, she said, we had a discussion at hospice. She said, yeah, your daughter's had cancer for about 10 years, and we don't know if it started in the ovaries or if it was true breast cancer. We think it started in the ovaries. Yeah. Because it was just amazing. She was full of cancer. It was everywhere. Every organ. And just about every bone. Even in her collarbone. It was everywhere.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I'm kind of protective of women because of this. And I've done a lot of reading about hormones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hormone replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a big advocate of that at all. I'm not an advocate of it. I just wish that people would realize. I mean, I was in a restaurant one time and these people were feeding their two little daughters tofu.
Goodness.
And yeah, I looked at my partner, Tom, and I was like, hurry up and eat because I can't watch this.
Right.
Yeah.
He might as well eat a car tire.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
So just like, you know, I don't agree with, you know, giving, you know, tweens, you know, hormone replacement shots. So, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day and I said to them, do you remember the commercial that, you know, if you've had testosterone injections and your loved one had a heart attack, call so-and-so lawyer.
Right.
Well, what are we doing to these kids?
Absolutely.
So that's a whole nother subject, but just eat beef.
Yes.
Just eat beef and your testosterone will be great. So
it blows my mind. Every conversation that I have with carnivores and just these new things that I learn and
mm-hmm.
and it all stems back to exactly what you just said, just eat beef. And it just seems so incredible that it's that simple.
It is that simple. Yeah. I think that's why sometimes we do tend to try to complicate it a little bit because it seems too simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, but yeah. But to answer your question, go back to what I eat. So I usually go to Legacy Ranch and I buy meat from them. They deliver it right to my door.
Mm-hmm.
And their prices are good. When I compare them with other places, not in Montana. And then I go to a warehouse called the Shamrock Warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I buy big slabs of meat from them and I cut it up and wrap it myself because it's cheaper. So
nice.
I went out walking. I don't live that far from there and I walk almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in there and I had some really good sales. I walked home with almost 60 pounds of meat. I managed to carry it home and up to the top floor of my house.
Nice.
Yeah. And sliced it all up. And so I bought about 300, not even, didn't even, no, I spent about $260 and I got almost 60 pounds of meat.
Wow.
And that's a deal.
That's a deal.
Yeah. I bought ribeye, New York strip, pork loin, and ground beef.
So for me, that would be almost 2 months of one half of the day of meals.
Yeah.
And people say they can't afford eating this way.
Yeah. No, well, you know, then I went and bought all my eggs and, you know, that I eat. That will last me more than a month. And so I spent about $300, $325 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm set now for a while. And then I have water delivered to me.
Okay.
So, because I live on the top floor and I don't want to lug it up here.
Right.
So I get spring water. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. It's much cheaper to eat this way. I think it is. I don't stop and get coffees anymore. I don't stop at fast food places. I hardly ever go out to eat. Even if I go and meet friends, I just sit there and drink water.
Mm-hmm.
I even went to friends for Thanksgiving and didn't eat. I ate before I went there and I let them know ahead of time. I don't care if anybody says something to me or doesn't like what I'm doing. I really don't. So I haven't had any people say too much to me. Most of the time when people see me, they say, oh, you look good. You lost some weight. You know, what are you doing? So, and they're just like, really? But they'll let me know too. Like, as soon as I say that, they'll let me know. Oh, I don't think I could do that. I need variety. That's usually what I need. Yeah.
Right. I get the same thing. It's funny. Yeah. I had one, my son's girlfriend, she said, I don't think I could do the carnivore diet because, I just love cheese too much. I said, well, you're in luck because you can eat plenty of cheese. And, and then she says,
you can tolerate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she goes, well, I really like wine. I'm thinking, okay. So you're really just kind of making an excuse of why you don't want to do it. So,
She would have almost been better saying she liked vodka.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I don't see anything wrong once in a blue moon if somebody wants to have a drink. I mean, you have to live too. I just don't drink. I don't miss drinking. I don't have the desire for it, but once in a blue moon, if you go to a wedding or something, or you want to have a drink, but anyway,
right?
I probably have a drink twice a year.
Yeah, I'm the same way. To something. And I usually regret it after I do.
There's
some kind of pain that follows.
Yeah, the last time I had a drink, I really felt it. You would have thought I had three. So then after that, I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that again because I don't really miss drinking. So,
right.
Yeah. But now,
that's awesome.
And I have no desire to eat out at all because I don't want the seed oils. I just don't. And I ate out a couple of times when I first started carnivore. And I know this sounds strange. I feel like I didn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but the food was not dense enough to make me feel like I even ate. Mm-hmm. So I just don't bother.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't either. It's like, why would I eat out? If I could pay, $12 to $15 for a ribeye and it tastes absolutely incredible, why do I want to go to a restaurant and pay $30, $40 for a ribeye?
Yeah.
And I can't eat the sides. And they usually, it's not the right kind of butter either, and sometimes they'll cook it in seed oils. And I got to tell them, don't do that. And it doesn't taste
well. In the
good
weather, you can barbecue and do things like that. But so I've had a few people over and then I've just let them eat what they want. I just ate what I wanted. So that works out if you want to have people over. Mm-hmm. But,
for sure.
Yeah, but I can tolerate. I know not everybody is comfortable with it, and I understand it. I can tolerate going out and not eating while everybody else is eating. It doesn't bother me.
Right. Yeah, I can tolerate it too. It doesn't mean that I don't want to have some rolls or whatever.
Or
the chips and salsa. But I can definitely. It's not an issue or a problem. But the biggest problem.
I don't even like this. If I go into, say, Walmart, when I walk past the aisle that has all the bread, I can smell it, and I think it smells horrible.
Really? Wow.
Yes. I have no desire for that. I'm like, oh, how did I eat that? But to me, it's like smelling somebody that has a cigarette on. Oh, how did I use I hate the smell of it. But
it's like
it's not homemade, but
that
might be different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So if somebody is watching this and they're thinking about doing a carnivore diet, or they just don't understand enough about it, and they're looking for answers, kind of what would be your advice to that person?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that so many people today don't eat much meat. But I think the first step would to be start increasing the animal food meats in your diet, especially, beef and lamb. And the other thing is that You know, I have said this to people, go look at the nutritional profile of a piece of meat against a vegetable. I think it's a good idea for people to educate themselves about anti-nutrients like lectins, oxalates, phytates, gytrogens. There's a lot of anti-nutrients that people have never even heard of. So I think that's a place to start. Educate yourself about anti-nutrients. It might make you think differently about eating something that isn't giving you much nourishment, that's expensive. The other thing that, and there are some, one doctor that I really like a lot of his articles is Dr. Robert Kiltz. Mm-hmm. His website has some great articles, nutritional mm-hmm. articles. He talks a lot about food and he puts out the nutritional profile. So that's a great resource. He's a great resource as far as, you know, his articles go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend everybody eat his ice cream. Sorry, Dr. Kiltz. Well, I think some people can tolerate it, also can eat it once in a while, but there are some people who will, if you haven't been ketogenic or carnivore long enough, I think it would make you fall off this lifestyle. I think that you would end up
tempting.
Yeah. So I think you got to figure out who you are and can you handle just having something like that once in a while? You might have to wait until you're used to eating this way for a year or so, maybe even longer. But I think he has some great articles and he's really thorough on, you know, the way he writes his articles. And of course, you know, everybody loves Dr. Ken Berry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his wife's videos are great, especially for women who are in childbearing age. I just love the way they're feeding the kids. We ate like that when I was little. My mother would give you a bone with meat on it, you know, when we were babies. I asked her and she said, yeah. So people are so afraid to give their kids meat. I don't comprehend that. They have a baby and all they feed it is fruit and vegetables out of a jar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid to give them the meat even. Even the meat in the jar, which isn't great, but they don't even give them that hotly. So, yeah, we've really done such an injustice with all the propaganda against meat.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing is mindset and people getting used to eating meat again. So you start there, and then while you're eating more meat, then start educating yourself about anti-nutrients. So, I had a cousin who called me because she was getting kidney stones. Every couple of months, she was in the emergency room, and she said to me, well, what do I do? And I said, I really don't want to talk about diet with you. And she said, why? I said, you're not going to like what I have to say because you follow vegan / vegetarian diet. You're going to get mad. And she said, no, I want to hear it. And so I said, and that's what I told her. I said, you need to educate yourself about oxalate and anti-nutrients. I said, because no matter what I say, I said, we're going to hang up and you're going to go right back to eating the way that you were eating. I said, so you need to go start reading about that. So, I think, you know, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Absolutely.
But if you yourself educate yourself and you sit there and you read this stuff and you start connecting the dots, that's usually what people will make a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something has to resonate with you to make the change because none of us like to be told what to do.
Yep. And unfortunately for many, it's, you know, they have to be in such a bad state with their health in order for them to make a change,
right.
Which is unfortunate.
Right. I'll tell you a funny little story. So I'm going to not say who because, you know, I'm going to protect the innocent. Right. The name's going to be innocent. So I got a phone call one day from this woman I know. She took her son to see his primary care physician. He was 19 at the time. And he had his first serious girlfriend. And so her son was probably more leaning towards a vegan. And I would say a fruitarian type vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was 19, had his first serious girlfriend, and told his mother, I need to go to a doctor. Anyway, after he got out of the doctor's appointment, he told her why he had the appointment. Because he had ED. He had erectile dysfunction at 19.
Oh, wow.
And so, anyway, he knew that I was against him just eating fruit and vegetables. And juicing, too. You know, I try to explain to him one time about, you know, well, this is what happened when you remove the fiber. Right. Not that I think you need fiber, but when you do remove the fiber, the fiber slows the absorption of all the sugar in those vegetables mm-hmm. and fruit. And so he was, you know, getting blasted of it. Anyway, he was in the car and he finally fessed up with her why he was at the doctor. And it was important to him because now he was in love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said to his mother, call Gloria in the car.
Nice.
So they called me and I told them, I said, you need to eat steak. You need to eat ground beef. You need beef for the zinc. And I explained to him how that correlates with your testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took that for him to give up being a vegan. So sometimes it just takes something
for a teenager.
So sometimes, you know, that something like that, it was like with me then. I mean, I had such horrific bladder pain. I mean, that now I was willing, you know, when I went to the doctor, I remember saying to him, I said, I'll stand on my head and roll around and spit peanuts if it will take this pain away. I mean, I think some people get in a spot where you'll do just about anything to feel better. And mm-hmm. I think that's what we see a lot. I think in this community, most of the people that are in this community have had some type of, you know, chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
Some kind of wake up call that I've got to change. I got to do something.
For sure. So, yeah. With me. Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with, I know everyone says, you know, find your why. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anything wrong with people doing this because they're obese and they want to lose weight.
Absolutely.
Because that leads to a lot of disease. And you just don't feel good. Mm-hmm. You can't tie your own shoes anymore. And that's not a good feeling.
Absolutely.
So I have no qualms with people being concerned about losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
That's just, you know, if somebody calls me and they just want to lose weight because, you know, a lot of times people's knees are, you know, going too, and they'll do something finally about their weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their hips, their knees.
For sure. Yeah. I didn't start because of, you know, some kind of excruciating pain or anything like that. Although I did have it with certain conditions, plantar fasciitis and arthritis.
Oh yeah, I had that.
I had all that, but I didn't link that if I changed my diet, it would fix those things. So I started mm-hmm. because of an autoimmune condition, vitiligo, which is just
I've watched several of your videos. I remember watching that. Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I came there because of that.
That's when you have the discoloration.
Yes.
Skin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it fixed all that other stuff, and I thought, holy cow, this is incredible. You know, like the vitiligo was just, mm-hmm. it's a superficial thing, you know, that I didn't want it to continue to keep going. Obviously, there's something wrong, you know, if it's doing
this. Right.
So, but it wasn't painful for me. Yeah. And it started fixing all these other things and the weights are dropping off. And I'm like, this is insane. And how you feel and the brain fog is gone and the mental clarity and my TBI was being healed. And Oh my goodness. That's right. Why I can't shut up now. And I have to talk to everybody about it and talk right. to other carnivores and get their perspective and yeah. share their story just like yours. So,
well, yeah. One of my favorite things is the fact that I'm not swollen anymore. Like I can't, every pair of shoes I own are too big for me. Like my hands are nice and slender now. My feet are slender. I had that plantar fasciitis. Yeah. My son had that too.
Painful stuff, yeah. isn't it?
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, and you do everything. You buy, you know, expensive shoes and creams, and you soak your feet and do this and that. And if you only knew that all you had to do was get rid of the inflammation in your feet, and your feet would start feeling better.
Absolutely.
It's all about inflammation. Yeah, I didn't tell you, my CPK, my inflammation marker, was the range is up to 3.0, where I, you know, the lab that I work for is 3.0. Mine was 11. Wow. And now mine was 11, and I had it checked again a couple of months ago, and it was 3.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I wish I had blood work done and stuff like that. I still haven't had that done. I probably will here soon and use that ownyourlabs.com and just have them come out to the house, draw blood and do it that way. I have Dr. Barry's books that he wrote with Kim Howard.
You go through. Yeah. If you don't. So I'm not really sure with Own Your Own Labs, I would assume because I looked at the prices. Mm-hmm. The prices are really cheap, which tells me that there has got to be an additional fee.
Right.
By the lab. The lab's not going to do it for free.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Now, I would get probably the more expensive ones just because I've never had it done before. So I want to get, you know, the $250 one or whatever it is in order to.
You could go through health labs and you wouldn't have those additional fees.
Okay.
You just pay what they ask you to pay.
Right.
And they can just drive over to LabCorp or a Quest, whichever one was near you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just whatever they charge is what you're going to pay, period.
Okay. I'll definitely look into that for sure. I want to get as many tests done as I can to just, you know, it's good information to have and provides for good video content.
Yeah. What do you want to know? What kind of labs do you want?
Mainly, the LDL. And I believe that there's some sort of a blood test that you can do to understand the particle size for your LDL as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of interested in that. And then it's essentially just everything that Dr. Barry has in his book. I can't name all the different tests. But
no, that's all right. Yeah, you want a complete lipid panel. Things like, you know, cholesterol panel.
Okay.
You can get individual ones, but you want a complete one. So, yeah. I'd get a CBC, a CMP.
Mm-hmm.
Those are definitely two that I would get. You might want to where you had an autoimmune issue, you might want to have an ANA done to see that's negative now. It was probably not negative before. I don't know if you ever had one done.
No.
If you had an autoimmune going on.
I avoid doctors like the plague.
Yeah, I do too. I can order a lot of this stuff myself, so I just stay away from them.
Up until recently, I didn't even know that you could order your own lab work. So definitely interested in checking that out now.
Yeah. I realize that people are, was it Dave Feldman that put together Own Your Own Labs? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's a great guy, but I think to save yourself some aggravation and having to pay those additional fees, you'd be better off going through health labs. And they're not overly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it cuts out that other fee.
Right.
So, and it's all done through email. And then you just print out the slip and take it to the lab and get it drawn. So, yeah, so you want to get your cholesterol checked. Mm-hmm. Anything else? If you want an inflammation marker, you want what's called a CPK or CK.
CK.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
you can get a SED rate done. Yeah. Some of that might be in the CMP. CMP is a complete metabolic panel.
Okay.
And then the CBC, that's your complete blood count.
Okay.
Go ahead, anything that you're concerned about? Huh?
There's really nothing that I'm concerned about. I feel great. Yeah, okay. I mean, I feel like a superhero. Just you know, take some tests to just kind of see where things are at and prove the naysayers wrong.
Yeah.
Because they're all
well, you get it done. You can send it to me.
I'm going to die of a heart attack.
Yeah. If you get them done, you can send them to me because you got to know how to read them too. Mm-hmm. Because you can have something that was low or high and it means nothing. You have to be able to cross-reference them with other things in order for it to mean something, which...
Okay.
You listen to Dr. Berry, he even talks about that. So some people panic, you know, and some things your biochemistry shifts when you change your diet. So that's why it's not a good idea to have a blood test right away, because then you'll see things that look like they're off, but it's only a temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just temporarily off because your body's shifting now. So like calcium and magnesium play a role in your blood pressure. Your acid alkaline base. I mean, so many things. So as that shifting, you could see things that look like they were off and be like, oh my God, you know, and there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
So,
that makes sense.
So it is a good idea to wait several months before you go spending your money on a blood test. Just for gauge sure. it by how you feel. You know, if you feel good, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I'm going into 10 months now. So.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wait till the year mark or something. I don't know. I'm really busy right now. So
that's what I did. I waited till the year mark. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I waited a year actually from that May. I told you I had a physical in May and then I started carnivore and, you know, started transitioning and then went into carnivore in July. So I waited till this past May to have the blood work done again. So, yeah, I guess mine was about 10 months, if you consider when I started carnivore.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and I lost 60 pounds.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no clothes that fit me. So, two winter coats that I'm lost in. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I have the same problem. It's like every season, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't have no clothes. I got to go clothes shopping for jackets and all this other stuff now.
And now, well, I bought some secondhand clothes while I was losing weight because I thought, oh, I got a ways to go and I didn't want to have to keep spending money on clothes. So, and somebody gave me some clothes, a friend of mine, where she's like, I have all these clothes that don't fit me anymore. You want them? I said, yeah, I'll try them. I said, I'm not too proud to take used clothes.
Right.
I didn't care. You know,
I'm buying mine from the thrift store now too. So, you know, I'm down to where I need to be, but it's like, whatever, you know, clothes are clothes. I'm not in a fashion show. So,
I hear, you don't care about that stuff as you start getting older.
No, exactly.
Especially girl, you know, when you're a girl, you care about that stuff more, but I think anyway.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, what state are you in?
Ohio.
I lived there. Yeah, my dad's from Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived in Logan County when I was a kid.
Okay. Logan.
Bell Fountain.
I'm trying to think of where that is. That's my son lives in Bell Fountain.
Yeah, that's where I lived when I was a little kid on Dayton Street.
That's funny because I lived in Dayton, so.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Yeah, I lived on Dayton Street. Tell your son, ask him, I'm just curious, actually. It was a big greenhouse. Almost on the corner of Dayton Street. We had a lot, like a big yard in front of that house. I remember. Yeah.
Nice. So,
yeah, I met somebody one time. I was on a cruise that was from Bell Fountain, and we were just like, who had ever even heard of Bell Fountain? Because it's not a very big place.
Right, for sure.
So, Yeah. Surprise.
There's a road in our neighborhood called Bell Fountain also, which is strange.
Yeah. Have you met, what the heck is their names? Ready, Set, Keto, James and Emily. Have you met them? Do you live near them?
They have
a meetup. They live in Ohio, and they have a meetup. So I was just curious if you've ever met them in person.
I have not.
Yeah.
And I just recently found out that Aaron Kilby and his wife, they both live in Dayton, and I haven't met them either. From the Kilby Life, the channel called the Kilby Life. They're carnivores.
I probably have watched it. I can't keep track of the names of everybody. It's right. So many now.
There's a lot of them now. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
So
I started following just because I wanted to support her. Carnivorous Me, Amanda.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I found you. I don't remember how I found you. I think I found you because you were on Intentional Carnivore.
Okay.
You know how you guys do is it Friday Night Lives?
They do, but Sean and I did a live Q&A interview with him.
Okay. I think you were on one of their Friday Night Lives. Something. That's how I found you, through one of them anyway.
Okay.
And I watched your, so I knew about a little bit that of what you told me. Like, I knew you had plantar fasciitis. I watched the video that you talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how much I shouldn't call him a kid. I'm old enough to be your mother, Sean. but it was crazy how much weight he lost in 1 year.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I realize men lose weight faster than women, but he lost a big person.
Yes.
In a year.
Yes.
So that was crazy.
Or two petite women.
Yeah. Yeah.
So incredible. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
So do you have a social media channel that you want to shout out or anything like that?
No, I don't do any of that.
Okay.
No, I can tell you, I had, for a long time, I had a radio show. I did social media, had a website. I mean, I lived in Austin, Texas, and we had a radio show. We did all that. And I don't want to do it anymore. So it's my turn to take care of me.
There you go.
You know,
yep.
So, I just want to kind of start joining retirement now.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a few private clients and that's about it.
Okay.
So, yeah, word of mouth will pass my name around. I had a few people that live in my area that reached out to me through Dr. Ken Berry's Proper Human Diet, The Mighty Tribe, I don't know, whatever that
private
you pay,
community.
You know, yeah, private community. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had a few people befriend me just because I lived in the same town as them.
Mm-hmm.
And, then they found out what I did for a living. And so I did end up working with them a little bit to get their guts and stuff straightened out. But I only just take on a few people now.
There you go.
So
you're the captain of your ship. I love that.
Yep. Yeah. after taking care of my daughter and Tom, I just kind of said, okay, it's time for me to take care of myself. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, yeah. Gloria, it was definitely an honor to have you on and chat with you about your carnivore experience. Hopefully this isn't going to be the last time that we chat. I wish you all the best in the future and looking forward to connecting with you down the road.
Well, thank you for having me. And again, you know, if you do have your labs, you can send them to me and I'll go through them and tell you what they mean. No problem.
For sure.
And
I definitely appreciate it.
You know, and I still help people a lot too. I mean, just to help people, you know. Because some people really do. Some people have labs and they don't know how to read them, and that was understandable. And then there are some people I meet that they just really do need some guidance. And it's understandable because there's just so much different information out there.
Right.
So I think people feel a little more secure if somebody can kind of help them through the beginning of it. But I try to teach people so they can do everything they need to do on their own.
I appreciate that, because I definitely wouldn't know what I was reading.
No, but I also think that I just think we should help our fellow men. I guess that's the only way I can say it. You don't always have to. I just don't know any other. You don't always have to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
You should just help people because you want to help, and because you're passionate about people being healthy and happy. Because you do feel happier when you're eating good and you're moving. So
for sure. Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me, Adam.
Yep. Thanks, Gloria. All right. I appreciate you.
Bye. Take care.
Yep.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.